To be gathered back in the holy name of the Lord Jesus, and we're glad to have another service here on Sunday morning, closing out the meetings this weekend. And I have been truly blessed by being here and being a part of the church body. We certainly appreciate Brother Tony and his family and the church here, all the hospitality. We just love the people here and appreciate each one of you, and I sure pray that the Lord will just bless you this morning really good. Amen. In many different ways. You can be seated if you like. I think I'm going to try to sing maybe one more song before I preach. Sure. I heard it mentioned yesterday that y'all was hoping we'd get some singing in this weekend, even if my right arm wasn't with me, so maybe we'll try a little. And certainly glad to see the sister here this morning. Amen. I'm sure you're a visitor here of it, I understood.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. What's your name, ma'am?
Darlene.
Nice to meet you, Sister Darlene. My name's Brother Ben. I'm the visiting minister today, the pastor here, Brother Tony. Amen. The church body, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
May the Holy Spirit bless you real good today. We're going to try to treat you so many ways you'll have to like one of them, that's for sure. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. world this morning.
Amen.
Let's turn the Bible to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. We're going to continue today on the Holy Ghost. I'm just beginning to understand that there's more to this Holy Ghost than just being saved.
Amen.
Matthew 5, verse 6. I'll read one portion of Scripture, then I'd like to read to you some things from Brother Brandon. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. One aspect of this Holy Ghost is that it must be fed.
Right.
It must be fed the Word of God. If you are truly a believer and truly full of the Holy Spirit, then you must feed that which is within you in order to strengthen that which has truly been birthed into your soul. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall go hungry, for they shall be filled." Shall be filled. Look at the meaning of this word. It means to fulfill or satisfy the desire of anyone. So this longing, this thirsting that's on the inside of the soul, a person that is craving or longing after righteousness. Now remember what we read yesterday, as we looked at what Paul had to say about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, that there's no way that the carnal mind or the carnal side could ever thirst for this.
That's right.
Absolutely impossible.
Right.
The carnal man does not thirst after righteous things. Unless, of course, he's using it as a cloak or she's using it as a cloak to hide their sin. But this is what Jesus is referring to. Now watch now. It is in the avenue of the soul that this right here takes place. For a person can't really truly hunger and thirst after righteousness unless it's coming from that avenue of the inside, calling on God. God, I want truth. I want to be right. Remember, your flesh will never be born again.
Right, that's right.
Your flesh will never be saved.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Exactly.
It can never be saved. It is an absolute enemy against the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's the reason you war. That's the reason you struggle.
Yeah.
That's the reason why you try to get up and go to church and your flesh says, "Oh, I think I want to stay in bed." And that's something on the inside says, "Shut up, you're going to church."
Amen.
Why?
Right.
Because that something on the inside is Christ hungering and thirsting.
Right.
Now listen to this, out of the message, thirsty. I want to read this to you again, what we looked at yesterday. The man says there's a control tower in the body that tells you the need that's needed in your body. And it's brought to you by thirst. Also, there is a control tower in your soul that tells you the spiritual things that you have need of.
Amen.
Something in your spirit, and you by this can tell what kind of life is controlling you. So down in the soul now, there is a life that's actually controlling you. Either Christ or the devil is sitting on the throne of people's heart this morning.
That's right.
And we can tell what's really in there by the thirst that they crave after. If you take, for example, what they say with alcoholics, that part of what they call the thirst, and always they say will always lay with them. In other words, they're always crave after alcohol and so forth like that. But now this, what Jesus is referring to, what Brother Bram is telling us now, is that this in the soul, if it's truly God down in there, it will constantly thirst after righteousness. Thirst after that. God, feed me. Feed me the Word. And if you are truly born again in the Spirit of God, there's no way at all that you could go years and years and years and not go to church, not read your Bible, not pray, not be in fellowship. You're not truly where you need to be with the Lord if that's the way it is.
Right.
But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that something inside of you will constantly crave after fellowship, after the Word, after church. Come on now, saints.
That's right.
It will want that all the days of its life. Notice again, paragraph 30 said, when you can see what your desires are, and then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you, that's creating this desire that you have. See, there is a certain thing that you thirst for. Now listen close. And it can tell you in your soul what this desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have. And he says, I hope that you can understand that.
Right.
How many can?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together over the word. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace to us, Father. We are appreciative, Lord, today of all that you've done for us this weekend. I believe that we could close these meetings that we started Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday night, today being the fourth, and the number four represents earthly deliverance.
Amen.
I believe we could say that we have been delivered in great ways. Lord, it's not been Ben Norod, or it's not been Claude Weisinger, or Tony Roberts, or any of these other brothers, Lord, that has brought us deliverance, but it has been you by your Holy Spirit, as we saw last night, using gifts to open your word to us, to bring us what the germ of life needs to be in that soul. Father, I pray today as we look into your word that you will use me today. Help me to word things and say things in the right manner, Lord, that it would be helpful to the people, every person here. May the Spirit of God bless them as well, that they can be receptive, that they can open their ears and their heart to hear that which you would speak to us. Help us today, Father, as we look into your word now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. All the saints said,
amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. I've got, again, the slides here prepared for you, so if you'd like to just watch there, I was glad that you have this program. To me, this works a lot better. As fast as I preach, it's hard to keep up with me.
Yes.
So we look here now at Matthew 4. Now watch when Jesus is now approaching Satan, and as Satan is engaging in this battle with the Lord Jesus, I want you to notice carefully how Jesus words this. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now we know that Jesus, after his baptism, he's led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. As he's there, he's fasting, and he's spent all this time fasting, and now he's hungry. And now Satan has been permitted by God his Father to come against the Lord Jesus. Now remember, in this man is powers on top of powers. Inside of this man, the Lord Jesus, is the ability to speak worlds and blow worlds off the end of his fingertips. By picking up just a little dust, he could have blew galaxies off the end of his fingertips. He had all this power down inside of him. But notice when Jesus goes to answer the attack of the devil, that he does not focus upon his power or his abilities or any of the fine qualities that God gave to him. But watch what he says. It is answered, and he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now watch now. "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, if we're not careful when we read things sometimes in the Bible, we'll read them too quickly. We won't really dig down in and find the correct meaning of them. Now, in the Greek New Testament, we find that there are two actual Greek words used for this here W-O-R-D, for word. And one of them is the logos, and the other is harema, which we find that these two words signify this. Now, if you'll notice, the first word, logos, is actually, it's the thought or the concept of God. So it is the thoughts or the concept of God. Now the Greeks, many times when they were looking for their days of enlightenment, as we know the Greeks were knowledge seekers, they had what they called a stoic countenance. And their stoicism was based upon their ideology that the more logos they obtained, that the more, enlightened they were, the less emotional that they would get. And the man that really came to what they would call full maturity was a person that absolutely could fully control their emotions in every way. And they called that being stoic. Now, I'm convinced there's a lot of message people got that same idea today. And you realize that this stoicism, this idea, the word that they actually originated for logos was derived from the gathering of knowledge or words wrote down or the gathering of knowledge. So the more knowledge they could obtain by books, the more logos they said that they obtained. Same word that Jesus uses in St. John 1 when he said, "In the beginning was the logos," or the word. Now, the word that Jesus uses here for word is not logos, but is harema, which this word is a different than the logos in the respect that it is now the uttered living voice that is spoke from this word. So now Jesus is not telling us, so man shall live by every logos. Anybody can pick up this Bible this morning and read it. The biggest sinner on the face of this planet, the biggest drunk, the biggest whoremonger in Arkansas could go and sit in a motel room and pull out the drawer, pull out a Gideon Bible, sit there and read and read and read and read. But it doesn't convert a man until It becomes a living voice in his soul. Now, Jesus is not telling us that we'll live by just reading the Bible. That is one thing that we have to understand, that a person can read and read and read and not a bit more understand what they're reading than nothing in the world. But when that word becomes so anointed by the Spirit of God that it turns into a living voice to you. I hear Brother Bam say in 1959, Eagle Sternthorne-Ness, he said that the Holy Spirit, Mama Eagle, he called it, will scream out of the pages of the Bible. So then there must be another level that we've got to go to when we're reading the Bible or studying the Word of God to find the mind of God is more than just dryly reading the words like reading a newspaper. But it is when the Spirit of God then, by living voice, speaks out of the Word into your heart to make the Word live in your ears and in your eyes. Do you realize that a person that doesn't even have a Bible can have harema? Right. They can have this in their soul and not even be able to read the Bible. They can be as ignorant as day is from night. As far as a smart man to an ignorant man, they can be just as dumb as they can be. But if they've got the Holy Ghost, they can have harema in their soul, the living voice. And many times, this is also the same word that Jesus uses when he identifies what Paul says about the soldier being dressed up, that he calls it the sword of harema, or the sword of the Spirit. We do not fight, my precious friends, just by dryly quoting the Bible and saying, now, devil, he said on page so-and-so, and on verse so-and-so, and in chapter so-and-so. That ain't never going to back the devil up. But when the harema, or the living voice, begins to move in the heart of a child of God, and then they speak out, Satan, it is written, he recognizes harema. And he'll back up to harema when he won't back up to you quoting Logos. You can quote Logos to him all day long and he'll quote Logos back to you. But what made Jesus effective here was not the fact that Jesus could repeat the words of the Scripture. Remember now, Jesus was repeating almost verbatim some of the things that the Word of God had said himself. But he was not just quoting it by just repeating the words. I'm afraid that's where we get in so much trouble in this day and age, that when we start getting into a trial or getting to a problem, we just start quoting things out there that's not really ever affected us or made a real impression in our soul. We're just repeating it because it sounds appropriate for the time we're in. Now, I admit the Word of God has power, so anytime you quote it, the devil will recognize it's the Word of God. But what a greater thing it is for you and I when that Word that we're quoting has so affected us until we believe the very thing that we're saying. When we tell the devil, get thee behind me, we realize who we are and we realize what God has made us, then brother, there ain't enough devils out of hell to back you up, even if you don't know enough scriptures to back him up.
Yeah.
If you've got enough confidence and faith in the Word of God, the minute that harema speaks, the devil recognizes it's real.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my, praise the Lord. Let's look now at St. John chapter 6, verse 63. Now, watch now. Jesus says, again, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. If I could get that over to message people, I'd be doing a very, very good job as an evangelist. One thing that I believe that we have so done is we have so emphasized the thirsting and the craving of this flesh that many times when we get involved in situations, have you ever done something wrong and feel satisfied after you've done it? Now, I'm not talking about the soul now, but I'm talking about in the body. You feel this pull on your flesh, and you feel so pulled in a certain direction, and you'll fall to that thing, and there's an element of satisfaction that comes by satisfying that thirst. But then all of a sudden the soul starts speaking to you and says, you know you oughtn't have done that, then you're miserable again. Why? Because that satisfaction, I've seen people, friend, through the years, that will also interpret that temporary satisfying as, oh, it must have been spiritual, it must have been the Lord. No, it was your flesh craving after something, and you gave your flesh a drink of water. Come on now. And by satisfying the thirst in that flesh, it kind of give it an ease for a few moments of time. Yeah, but right. That soul, harema, was saying, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have thought that thing. You shouldn't have went down there to that movie house. You should have stayed out of that book. Come on now.
Yeah.
What is it? The Word of God inside the soul. But the flesh will crave and will be satisfied with certain things. Watch now. The flesh profiteth nothing. The harema that I speak. Now this is not Logos, but Jesus uses again the same word. The harema that I speak unto you, there are what? Books, tapes, CDs, seed libraries. What are they? What are the words of God this morning? Help me. You got it right there in front of you. They are spirit and they are life. So then, Brother Daniel, this is a higher element of the Word of God than just reading the Bible. Do you realize how many people will read the Bible on a daily basis and wind up in hell? Why? Because it never influenced or impacted their life to make a change on the inside. They were just simply reading the word Logos, 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 and it never became a living voice. It never became something that spoke out to them. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. If you're sick in your body, you can take that scripture that he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity, and by his stripes you are healed. You can take that and repeat that over and over and over again, and that's good. But if it never becomes a living voice, you're just repeating something that you don't believe. But the moment that faith anchors and quickens in that heart, and you start realizing he was wounded for me, Brother Tony. He died for me by his stripes. I am healed. And then you say, glory to God, he's talking about me. What is that? Horema, the living voice. He speaks out. You is the one I'm talking to. You say, that's me, Lord. And then it becomes spirit and life. Listen to me carefully. There is a big difference in being a Logos Christian and being a Horema Christian. There are people in this message that are strictly Logos Christians. They can quote the word backwards, forwards, upside down. They know every Bible as Bible scripture without even opening their book. And if you leave out an A and but the four or two or something like that, they can catch every place that you're bringing in. And they can switch around. Oh, you missed that right there. There's a comma there. You didn't pause. That's Logos Christianity. But I would rather be a Horema Christian. Where if I didn't have enough knowledge about this, I had power and influence in my soul that Satan couldn't move me off of the Word of God. Hey, brother, we don't have to know every Bible verse. We don't have to know. Now, study to show yourself proof, sure. But take it farther than just studying and learning and memorizing. We teach our kids scriptures. We teach them to memorize certain passages in Sunday school. And why do we do that? Because we're hoping that the Word will so move into their intellectual mind that eventually it will catch fire in their soul and move down into their heart to become a reality. We do not want to be the type of people out here in Arkansas where all we do is come to church and gather more Logos. We don't want to be like the Greeks seeking after knowledge, but we want to be Horema Christians, that every time we come to the house of God, that even if you don't understand what's being preached, the Horema is speaking out. Amen, I believe it. Amen, I believe it. Do you understand it? No, but I believe it's true. That's what's going to keep you in the hour we're living in. If you try to base your salvation based on what you know in this Bible, the devil's going to turn you every way but loose.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, the harem of the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now watch this in expectations. Brother Rem says, I love the word. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Now watch now. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit feeds on the word of God. So why is it the very thing that we're supposed to feed on seems to be the last thing that we do? Now, I'm talking about myself just like I'm talking about you. How in the world do we ever expect to come to the spot in God to where we know who we are as Bible-believing Christians if we don't spend time in the Bible?
Yeah.
Friends, I love my Bible more. I've served it for 25 years. Since I've been a teenage boy, 14 years old, I received the Holy Ghost, started preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit has done so many great things. I've watched Him do things with my own eyes that I just couldn't believe myself. I've seen Him do miracles, great signs and wonders, discern people's hearts, everything else in the world. And yet I'm just as guilty of not reading and praying like I should as you are.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because we're still satisfying this flesh way too much rather than satisfying the soul.
That's
well, somebody preach with me this morning at least.
Right.
We're not giving over. Do you realize that when you give over to this thing, it may not even be sinful, but when you are giving your time and your efforts and so forth over to things that's not feeding your soul, many times you're robbing yourself of great blessings that you could have.
Yes.
Notice the Holy Spirit feeds on the Word of God. Christians should always read the Bible. He said, it's food. It's the Word of God. It's food. It's the Word of God. So how does the Holy Ghost eat? By eating the Word. It doesn't feed on enthusiasm. It doesn't feed on singing. Y'all done forgot how to say amen already.
Right.
Either that or I've got you in a corner and you're scared to say amen. Yeah. Now praise the Lord now.
Right.
The Holy Spirit does not feed on fellowship. It doesn't feed on track meetings. It doesn't feed on group societies. The Holy Spirit feeds on the Word. Do you believe this is a prophet of God telling us, thus saith the Lord? The Holy Spirit feeds on the Word of God. Notice, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what the Christian lives on. The Word.
Yeah, man, man.
And the Holy Spirit loves the Word.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, I love how he says this. And he is here tonight to receive the Word. So that word goes in, and then that word comes out. So God gives the word, and then he sits there and waits for dividends to be drawn back. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the Bible said he will not let his word return void. Once he does it, he's waiting there to receive some fruit out of the lives of these Bible reading Christians. I made this remark one time in Canada. And it's because there's a whole bunch of natives sitting there, Indians. And I know I'm taking my life in my own hands saying this in Arkansas. But God ain't no Indian giver, friend. He ain't going to give to you and then take back and give to you and take back and give to you and take back. Come on now. But once he gives, he's looking to draw dividends. You say that offends me. I'm an Indian. I'm part Indian too, so I'm part offended. Notice in the hidden life of Christ, Brother M says, I love how he says this. He says, again, let me finish this quote. He said, and it's in you. And as the word comes forth, then the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and reveals it. Now, what is he referring to? This is Rhema. This is Harema, the living voice there. So it's more than just when a man is preaching you, as we looked at last night, and he's telling you the word, telling you the word, telling you the word. That's good when you hear it, but it only benefits you when it becomes Harema. If all you do is just hear it and sit there and smile, oh, that's good, that's good, praise the Lord, that's wonderful, and that's all it does for you, you're never going to have any real influence in your life. But when you're sitting there and the word comes forth and something strikes your soul and burns way on down, and something lights up in you like a Christmas tree lighting up, you think, oh, never saw that before. You know what that is? That's Harema in your soul. Has anybody been there but me? You've been sitting there studying or sitting there hearing a man preach, and you've read that scripture over and over and over again. But one morning,
right,
it's different to you somehow. What was it? I love this in the hidden life. He says, many times we substitute so much instead of the word, especially today. Now watch. We're substituting phenomenal. It amazes me, friends, how much emphasis is placed in the ranks of this message upon phenomenal things than upon the preaching of the Word of God.
Yeah.
I don't mind, you know, of course, if you, like yesterday, we had, you know, a good long song service or something. I'm not going to say that we did anything wrong there. I appreciate, you know, getting the people in the right atmosphere and so forth like that. But I've been to churches where when they go to preach and so forth like that, Brother Tony, they must, absolutely must, get a certain level of shouting and all that in the song service before they even let the preacher come out. Their hearts are prepared and so forth, but they just keep driving the point home, driving the point home. What are they doing? They're focusing on phenomenal. They're focusing on the attitude or the charisma of the people. Friends, if we'll just do what the prophet of God taught us, and that is assemble ourselves together, sing the song, like 30, 35, 40 minutes would be no problem. Maybe even an hour song service, if the Lord is leading that way. But then when we start going from the leadership to turning it into a phenomenal, like if, for example, at the end of a service, how many preachers have you seen didn't get the result they wanted, and so they just kept driving it home, until somebody cried. And then, boy, they had a service there. I heard an actual preacher tell me one time that a man gauged, he actually gauged how good a service he had by how wet his shirt was when he got done preaching. Don't you realize what that is? That's phenomenal. That's focusing on the phenomenal, and the Holy Spirit will not accept such a substitution.
Right.
Woo, preach, Brother Ben, I think I will. Notice now, he said we're substituting a lot of other things that shouldn't be. After all, church, watch now, is for preaching the word. Huh. So why do we come here? To get preached to. If you didn't come to be preached to, you in the wrong place. And if a preacher didn't come to preach to you, he's in the wrong place. Come on now, children. His whole mission, his whole job is to preach that word. Not get up here and say, I think and I feel and I believe and I'll tell you what we used to do. And I'll tell you how it was 40 years. We don't care what it was 40 years ago. Tell me what the word says. I'm not here to hear the latest hunting story or fishing story or to hear the latest thing out of Congress or politics. I am here to be preached the word of God. But so much is focused upon, oh, did you hear what's happening in Russia? Did you hear what's happening in China? Did you hear what's happening? Hey, what about what's happening in heaven?
Right.
Anybody want to talk about that?
Amen.
There's a lot going on in heaven. I'd like to hear what's going on there.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So church, Brother Tony, is for what? Preaching the word of God.
Amen.
Oh, my, I know that kind of stuff can get me in trouble, but it's the truth anyhow. Notice he said, testimonies are fine, and the different things that we do is wonderful, but we must give the word what place?
First
place. Because it's for the sinner, and for the people that the Holy has the Holy Spirit also. So the word isn't just for sinner folk, it's for those who's got the Holy Ghost. And what is my subject this weekend? The Holy Ghost. So what is the word, the preaching of the word for? If it's not to build up spiritual qualities in you and I, then why are we even sitting here? Do you realize the very benefit of you coming to church is not so you can learn more specifically, but it is to come to that spot to where your realization is waking up, to where the amnesia is being wiped away, and you're beginning to realize more of how God actually sees you. I read a quote yesterday, Doctor, turned me upside down. Brother Bam said, your faith is great. If it's in your thoughts. He said, but when your faith comes into his thoughts, he said he sends down the seal of the Holy Spirit and seals with the Holy Ghost. When your faith is in your thoughts, you can say, oh, I believe that's in your thoughts. That's in your logos. But when it becomes rhema, and the thought actually enters up into the mind of God, and the thought that you are a believer and that you are a Christian and you do have confidence in the word, when that thought enters up into his mind, then he speaks back with the living voice. He said, after all, the church is for preaching the word. Testimonies are fine. Different things we do is wonderful, but we must give the word the first place because it's for the sinner and for the people that has the Holy Spirit also. Jesus said, when Satan tempted him, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, the Holy Spirit feeds on the word of God. Listen to this. He takes the word and places it into your heart. And it makes you grow in strength, good Bible exposits. Glory to God. You know what an exposition is, don't you?
Yeah.
It's when you take a subject and illuminate it. Make it bigger. Taking one concept or one thought and bringing it into what they call an exposition. So this is what rhema does. The Holy Spirit goes right down into that heart and it begins to plant the word inside of you. And as you feed, you grow, you feed, you grow. And then the Holy Spirit takes that word. Isn't that what Jesus said in St. John 16? We've been reading over the weekend that he will lead and guide and teach you all truth. What is he doing? He's expositing the word. We had to have the church age book grammarized, and that's true. But there's one thing for sure, that we've got our own grammarizer inside of our soul. We've got our own expositor down inside of our soul. Don't understand something, not sure how it works? Ask your main expositor to illuminate that subject. Oh, hallelujah! Once it comes open to you and it speaks out, that this is the way that it fits together. It's a revelation to you then, children. But before that, what is it? Logos. Logos. Concept. Thought. Words. Scriptures. Quotes. Sayings. Statements. If they never become alive to you, what's the good of even trying to get it in your heart in the first place?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not going to let it be real to you, then why even try to study it? Huh? Hey, I'm funny. I don't like getting into things that I don't really understand and all that. Sure, I don't like it. But when I go into things, I drive in there with a purpose. Lord God, I am here for you to reveal something to me. I may not get it all. I may not understand it all. But I am here and I am on your hands. Oh, glory. You are going to move for me somehow. You said, oh, I wouldn't dare talk to God that way just because you don't understand where your position's at. Brother Ben, liking that little woman of faith to that little woman that came to the unjust judge.
Yes.
You remember whenever he kicked her out, she came back the next day.
Yep.
She didn't give up. She didn't quit. And I believe that if we'll get to such a condition to where that if we don't understand something in the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm on your hands.
Yep.
He said, I'm not showing you nothing today. He said, all right, but I'll be back tomorrow.
That's right.
Glory to God. Then what can you get more than Logos? Then it becomes a living voice. It becomes a living utterance. Oh my, listen, he said, I love to sit and hear a good Bible teacher who takes the Bible and lays it out. Then the spirit of kindness and meekness with it, where it takes root in ground, soft ground, and goes to growing. Now, we realize that spiritual growth is the releasing of the potential that lays in the seed. That brings, once the seed begins to germinate and begins to germatize and begins to grow, the releasing of that potential is the beginning of that seed's manifestation. Now we talk about manifested sons of God. What are we talking about? We're talking about sons and daughters of God that have fed on the Word, fed on the Word, fed on the Word until all that lays inside of them is beginning to express, 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 express.
Yeah.
Are we all there yet? You can say no, it's okay, I'm not going to yell at you. No, we're not. Why? That's why we're sitting in church. So that we can get more, so we can grow. So we can grow, so we can get more. I don't know about you, but when I go to eat, that I know in my heart, that ain't going to be the last time I'm going to eat. I'm going to come back to the table again and again and again. Notice, he says again, Jesus invested with all the powers of God. But when he met Satan, he never used any of his powers. You realize that Jesus had enough power in him, Brother Roberts, to be able to speak the devil plumb out of existence right then.
That's right.
All he would have had to do is open up his mouth. Poof, be gone. And he'd have been gone.
Yeah.
But Jesus knew he had to lay and set out the example because this one son was going to bring many sons to repentance. I feel religious to my toenails. He was having to set the example, glory, for the other Christians that would come along later that would have to fight these same demons. Jesus knew that it wouldn't end with him. So he had to give them the ability to fight without having all of these fullness of powers in them. So what did he do? He only referred to the Word. You could be the dumbest person on the face of the planet, but let one scripture. There's a sister back home. She's a brand new Christian. I've testified to you about her before. She went through a real hard trial here just a few weeks ago. And she told me, she said, Brother Ben, my biggest problem is I just don't know enough of the Bible to know how to fight the devil. I said, well, first of all, you ain't going to have to worry about that much longer because I'm going to blow your mailbox up. I'm going to give you so much fight material, the devil's going to be sorry you even mentioned it. And number two, I said, but that's not the key of it, sister. The key is take that which has been real to you and made real to you and use that to fight against the devil.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Ben, is there any truth to that? Think of it when Jack Cole got saved. When he got saved, I believe it was Jack Cole, he said the only thing he could say was, hot dog, I got it. Do you realize that because it was a reality to him, that hot dog, he had it? That the devil knew he had it, and the devil couldn't bite him a hot dog, he had it.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you realize that whenever his mom got saved, she got to shout and said, praise God, I've got what Jack got. Now, they might not have been able to explain it word verbatim what they had, but the fact that they were speaking by a living voice. Oh. Amen. By the fact they were speaking by a testimony. What is the spirit of prophecy? It is the testimony
of
Jesus Christ in his soul.
That's right.
It's not how much you know. You're not going to back the devil up by getting in a theological debate, children.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
You're not going to send hell back to hell by trying to get up there and overexpose the word and, oh, I quote the devil.
Yeah.
But the things that you know, and then with his sister, she said, the only thing I know is greater is he that's within me. I said, keep quoting that. So one day she got up and she said, greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me. She said, I am strong in the presence of the Lord. Greater is he that is in me. And she said, all at once the Spirit of God came down and said, yes, I am in you.
Now what happened? The Spirit of God used thought and concept and then turned that into a living voice. Sheila called me back and liked to blew my phone up when she called back. Because what was it? It changed from just a concept or just a quoting of the ritual of the word, of a quoting or ritual of quoting, but then it turned into a living voice. And once she was saying it as God was saying it. You realize what Brother Claude said yesterday, that the Holy Spirit spoke His word and God believed His own word. And the prophet of God said, when you speak the word of God and God believes His word through you, He said it will bring to pass the very same thing that it did when He spoke the word.
That's right.
So it's got to be more than just a natural, just a ritualistic quoting. It's got to become a living voice.
Yeah.
Oh my, listen to this. He only referred to the word. He did. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Watch closer now. Then how can you stay at home and be just as good a Christian as you would be at church? What does he say? You can't do it. Oh, bless God, I can go home and I can read the word of God just like any stupid preacher can. Well, then be sure to read Romans chapter 13 while you're reading. Go through the whole chapter. Make sure you read all them parts. When you get done with Romans 13, read Ephesians chapter 4. When you get down there, go to Romans chapter 10. When you get down there, go to Romans chapter 5. Jesus, a minister, a preacher of God's righteousness.
Yeah.
When you get down there, go to the book of Matthew. Look at the Gospels and find out how many times Jesus was called a preacher.
Yeah.
As He went to the synagogue, as it was His custom.
Yeah.
Jesus went to church.
Right.
Oh, I can stay home and be just as good a Christian. No, you can't. Because you must be in the presence of Harema.
Yeah.
Everybody hang on real tight. But do you realize what I'm preaching to you? If it's coming to me by inspiration, and the Spirit of God is using me by gift of God to speak, or Brother Tony or these other brothers, do you realize that when they are preaching to you by inspiration, that they are actually preaching to you by Harema, a living voice? Do you realize if your faith can tap into this right, that you are not hearing the voice of Ben Norod. You are not hearing the voice of Daniel Black. You are not hearing the voice of Frank Prater or any of these other brothers. You are hearing the voice of God.
Amen.
That may sound like my voice, but if you've got revelation, it ain't really my voice. Oh, but I can stay at home and just be as good as I can be. You can't do it. Everybody help me read that. Well, you just make sure you get this down.
You can't do it.
So it's impossible.
Right.
It's impossible you stay home. Well, I have to go to church, don't you? Then you must be better than the Lord Jesus, because Jesus went to church.
Yeah.
You guys, the prophet said in perfect faith in August of 62, I think it is, or 63, I don't believe. He said that Jesus looked into the word and it gave him faith about who he was.
Right.
And Jesus went to church. Matter of fact, you study it closely. Them boys, they went to church 7 days a week. Lord, we'd pass out if we had to go to church 7 days a week. We might about die trying to get to church twice a week or three times a week. Come on now, children. Don't get quiet on me. You can't do it. Why? You must be in the presence somehow of that living voice. Notice he said, read the word. The Holy Spirit feeds on the word. The Bible is God's spiritual diet for His church. And it's got all kinds of good vitamins in there.
Amen.
Vitamin A for alpha, vitamin B for, glory to God, for bride power, overcoming power, vitamin C for Christ, vitamin D for beating the devil up. Come on now. It's vitamin packed. The gospel is vitamin packed. It's a spiritual diet for the church.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the one that brings it to you and places it in the heart. So after the Holy Spirit gives it to you, places it in the heart, what are you supposed to do? Sit there with a big old frown on your face and never do nothing, I suppose. What does Brother Bram say? And with thanksgiving, you water it.
Yeah.
So you know what that means? Some of you Message Presbyterians in here are going to have to learn how to raise your hand, say amen, and clap your hands every now and then. Because you've got the Word. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got all these things working in your heart. But if you don't water it with praise and thanksgiving, do you realize that's why Brother Emma say, the Word is over now. Let's worship.
Yeah.
What was the benefit of worshiping? You need to water the seed.
Yeah.
Remember the prophet of God said that Abraham received the promise of God and for 25 years he watered it with thanksgiving and praise.
Yeah.
We sit in church, and some of you folks, I don't understand a one of you sometimes. I've seen the Holy Ghost move on some of you people, and you still just sit there and stare a hole through me. Why do you rob yourself of holy water? Why do you rob yourself of the ability to grow that seed? You say, oh, but I do worship. Yeah, you're kind of like those typical farmers that just kind of dab a little water. A little dab will do you, but not when it comes to this, brother. When it comes to this, you've got to get so drunk sometimes on the Holy Ghost you don't even know what your name is. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is not just about emotion. It's about a principle of God, which is to water the seed that has been placed in your heart.
Amen.
Don't you realize that's why you should say amen to preaching?
Right.
Don't you know what you're doing? You're watering what's being said. Oh my. I don't mind telling you, it bothers me when I see people that I've got a good meal prepared for and they won't eat. Because to eat, you've got to open your mouth to eat. Well, I'm just a quiet person, Brother Ben. Then nod your head, blink your eyes. At least act like you had a pulse. Come on now, children. The Word of God is restoring us to what? An original move of the Spirit of God. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, and this is what it is. It's more than just sitting there and saying, well, I believe that. I believe, okay, that sounds good. You don't have it yet. It'll never produce anything. And if you try to take that nonsense and back the devil up, he'll wear you out.
Right.
But when you sat in the house of God and you pulled, and amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and you got that word watered and it's absolutely sown so deep in there the devil couldn't pluck it out with 10,000 devils. Then when Satan comes by, you see the white of his eyeballs, you smack him right in the mouth. He'll tuck tail and run back down to hell and say, I don't know what happened, old Brother Daniel, but boy, he got something this morning. That's right, give him a black eye. That's right. Amen! Why? Because it must become rhema. It cannot just be a concept or just the gathering of logos. Notice, oh my, he says, and every divine promise will produce exactly what God said that it would. It's got to. It's his word. It's life. Look at that scene. The spiritual man on the inside, if you'll give him the right of way, he might lead you to a little mission somewhere. Well, there's not many people, but there is the Spirit of the living God. Anybody want to look around and see this quote made manifest today? He might not be, there might be a lot of people here, but the Spirit of God is here.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm not trying to throw off on you and pretend like you don't love the Lord. I know you love God, but I am telling you, even as much as you love the Lord, you are robbing yourself from greater blessings.
Yeah.
And as long as this man lets me come, I'm probably going to say it over and over and over. You might as well get used to Brother Ben saying it, because I don't like to see people belly up to a banquet table and sit there with their mouth shut. You're not bothering me. You're robbing yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
That's why you've got to pull. You've got to press.
Yeah.
To make sure that seed has enough water sustaining life. And it takes effort. Because when you walk out these doors, you better believe the devil ain't playing games.
That's right.
He's not fooling around. He's not being casual about this word. Whenever he sees the word of God preached like he does today, there ain't no telling how many schemes he worked to try to take from your heart what's been preached here this weekend.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
So you might as well buckle up, because all hell's probably about to break loose for some of you. Because some of you have been blessed. You've been feeding and eating on this word. You have been taking into your soul. So you might as well buckle up. Here comes the devil. But may I say, if it's harema to you, may the devil needs to buckle up, because here you come.
Right.
That's the difference. Oh my. The difference between a Logos Christian and a harema Christian. Notice again. He says, for the outside man feeds on... Help me. Psychology and intellectual. They like that. They like it when you get up there and take some history, take some this, take some that, stimulate their intellectual mind. They say, oh, I have learned so much today in the house of God. And so dumb and ignorant when it comes to spiritual things that they couldn't even blow the fuzz off a peach. What good does it do you to have a stack of books in your mind and not have no power of God?
Amen.
I would rather be dumb as it could be and have the power of God, Brother Daniel, in my soul. I would rather not know one scripture, one from another, and misquote everything I try to place out there and have the influence of the Holy Ghost in my soul. That's what's going to get us in the rapture.
Amen. That's right.
So much of this in our mind, so much of it is logos, concept, thought, gathering of knowledge. But how much of the Holy Spirit has spent it, fed it to your soul? But the inside man feeds on the Word of God. Again, in thirst, if you neglect to feed the Holy Spirit the Word of God. So we do have the potential to neglect this. Every word shall be by the Holy Spirit. Friends, whenever people come to me, they've been in trials. They've been going through hard times. And somebody says to me, Brother Ben, I'm in one of the hardest episodes I've ever had in my life. I ask them, I say, how much have you been praying? How much have you been reading the Bible? And I've had them say, I read the Bible every day. And I've learned to add a few questions to my questions.
Amen.
How are you reading the Bible? Yeah. Are you just reading it out of duty, or is it actually making a difference in you? I've had people tell me, well, I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if it's making a difference. I read. I don't know if it's making a difference. What do? Keep on reading. Keep on praying. Keep on pressing. If you're sincere before God, there's no way He could look down at them efforts and not reward you in some way. Why do we get in such a crippled condition sometimes? Because we're spiritually starving to death.
Yeah.
How many of you here, you working men? How many of you would go to your job, eat once on Monday, never eat again until the following Thursday? How long would you last? They'd be picking you up off the floor and calling for the EMTs after a while.
Yeah.
And yet we'll go day after day after day after day after day after day after day, and the only time we'll eat is when we come to church. What if you just ate twice a week? How strong would you be? Could you take care of your youngins? Could you have the right kind of attitude towards your brothers, your sisters? I guarantee you don't let me eat for a little while, I get grumpy. Oh, don't look at me that way. You do too. Come on now. I saw some of your faces before lunchtime yesterday. Right? Why? Because the lack of nourishment so affects the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we do things, the way that we achieve. If it's that way in the natural, how much more, oh God, how much more in the spiritual does it affect everything we do for the Lord when we don't feed this something on the inside? Oh my. God help us. He says, listen now, if you try to feed it the wrong thing, if it's the genuine Holy Spirit in you, it'll know the difference.
Right.
Remember, the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit feeds on. It doesn't feed on enthusiasm. Nah. So if we're not careful, that's what a lot of our revival meetings are going to be reduced down to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A preacher working in the channel of enthusiasm.
Right.
He's enthusiastic and he can say things enthusing and enthuse you. And everybody leaves enthused, but the devil is just more enthused than you're enthused. Because he knows that just enthusement alone is not going to be what man lives by. They live by the Word.
Amen.
Oh my. It don't feed on education. Listen close. It don't feed on church going. So you mean there is an element of people that can come to church and never be fed? Why? Because they come to church for the sole purpose of going to church.
Yeah.
To them it's a duty. To them it's a time. Do you realize that you could be sitting right here in the house of God, hear every word that I'm preaching and never really hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you aware that your ears could hear, your eardrums could hear, like I told you Friday night, your ears could hear and never have an ear to hear, singular ear.
Right.
Your natural ears could be beaten one way after another, and boy, I wish he would slow down. I wish he would be quiet. I wish he'd stop hollering. And the inside man get absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But yet because you come to church, you think, well, that's the solve all. No. When you come to the house of God, you come to feed on the Word.
Yeah.
So if you're not willing to feed, then this is pointless for you. You have wasted your time. And I'm going to save my time because I don't do anything that's going to be a waste for the Lord. I believe He gives credit to everything we do for Him.
Yeah.
But if all you're coming for the purpose is just to show up and just to be here, you've wasted your time. Because we don't come to church just for the sake of coming to church. We come to the house of God to what? Feed and water. I know I'm backing some of you into a corner so tight you feel like you're painted in and can't get out. But children, I'm trying to teach you the word of the Lord so we can be better. Amen. Don't let the devil condemn you. This is stuff that should help us come out of that corner a little bit and start learning how to be a proper child of God. Because friends, we're not going to get out of here if we don't know, understand how to be this kind of person right here. I'm not saying that I've got it. I'm not saying any one of us have got it. You might be farther down the road than I am. But I've got to preach something by the grace of God that's going to help us all get down farther down the road. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stagnate in my walk with God. I want to keep moving forward, moving on, until I finally achieve the total stature of His character. Oh, Lord. It doesn't feed on church going. It doesn't feed on theologies. There's a lot of difference between an inspired something and a theological standpoint of it. There's a lot of preachers in this message, friends. And I don't want to sound like I'm throwing off on ministry. You know that I believe there's true ones. But there's a lot of men in this message that are getting into a trend to where that when they come to the platform, if they can just simply give a good speech and kind of give people knowledge, they think that that's all that those people need. If you ever listen to tapes very much, you will find out that when Brother Branham was preaching, of course, Brother Branham wasn't the type of man like we was to stand up here, come on, somebody. He had a message to get, and he had a way of approaching things that's quite a bit different than you or I. But I'll tell you another reason why Brother Bam didn't come on somebody so much, because there was people coming on when he was preaching. Yeah. There was people there that was willing to feed on what was being said. Hey, it's easy to preach to people that want to be fed.
That's right. Yeah.
But there's a host of people in this message that are leaning more toward theology. Right. Inspiration has completely avoided them, abated them altogether. Yeah. They don't preach by inspiration anymore. They've got their notes. They've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 12, whatever it may be. And they go right through them notes and they don't veer off to save their life. And I've seen someone when they go to veer, it's like it scares them to death. They don't know what to do. I heard them stutter. I'm off my notes. I better get on my notes. Stay where the Spirit of God would lead you, brother. If the Holy Ghost wants you off the book, go off book. Come on now. We don't have to stay with a routine. We must follow the inspiration of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But somebody, sometimes we'll take it personal. I put all this work into this message, spent all this time. I only got to page 2, bless God. Well, maybe the Lord didn't want you to get past page 2.
Yeah.
Maybe the Holy Spirit wanted to lead you this way and this way and this way and this way. Well, I don't know why God couldn't have showed me in the beginning, because you probably would have messed up God's way if you'd have known what He was wanting to do.
Right.
That's us in our big mouth. The minute God tells us something, we've been blabbing it out to everybody and their brother.
Yeah.
Come on now, children. The devil would have got a hold of it and done great harm.
That's right.
So sometimes God will even hide it from His man. And he gets up there, and I've been on that roller coaster many, many, many a time. And I'm going this way and going that way thinking, dear God, where in the world am I going? He says, shut up, hang on, boy. You're in for an inspiration ride. Hallelujah! But the benefit that comes from it is blessed lives by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Right.
But we've gotten this one. What is it? Theology.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, preachers don't need theology. Saints don't need theology.
Right.
They need neology. Glory to God. Prayer time with the Lord. Oh my, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And in order to taste that He's gracious, guess what you got to do? You got to open your mouth.
Amen.
Oh dear God, it would scare me to death to say amen in church. Somebody might hear me. If they've got ears, more than likely they will. What if I get happy and shout? What if I get happy and start crying? What if you do? Maybe the brother next to you needs to see you do it.
Amen.
Maybe that's what he's been waiting on, is to see you get loose.
Yep.
Come on now. But I'm talking about more than just, oh, I'm sitting here listening. Oh, I'm intellectually. But now we we've entered in to tasting what? Digesting it down and making it a part of us.
Amen.
Spiritual metabolism starts to bring in and bring that word, making it what? The word making flesh. So it's more than just hearing. I could walk up and see a plate of food and describe you every chemical, every element, every spice, everything that is on that plate. But if I don't eat it, I ain't got the slightest idea what I'm really talking about.
Exactly.
I can describe to you how to bake chicken, grill chicken, fry chicken, and turn it upside down. I can put it in apple butter. I can put it in a pancake grease. I can turn it up. But if I ain't never tasted, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That's the Jamaican style, by the way, pancake. Notice now, taste and see that the Lord, this word sincere that Peter uses here. Of course, it's, as we know it, as milk or liquids. But notice the meaning of this is it's unmixed, unadulterated, or pure. So this sincere milk of the word is not mixed up with theology or enthusiasm or any of that. The Holy Spirit knows the difference. Now notice in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when you have time not to be teachers, you need that one teach you again. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now let's go over and see what this word means right here so that people can see. It is the letters of the alphabet. Oh boy. So Paul said, instead of me being able to teach you a deeper meaning of this, I've got to go and teach you, all right now children, A, B, C, D, E, everybody now, everybody together, H, I, J. I want to learn about spoken word. I want to learn about creation. Okay. You want to learn it? Say it after me. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But you say, what in the world has that got to? You got to learn the principles before you can move on into deeper things.
Amen.
That's right. Let's finish this now. Paul says, the principle of the oracles of God have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, meaning there's discernment and sharp. For he is a babe. That's what a one is unskillful, being a babe in that sense. They're unskillful, meaning that the discernment is not a full age. So they'll hear the word preached, they'll hear about Judas, they'll hear about Jesus, and they'll sit there in church and go, oh, is he talking about me? Am I Judas? Am I Judas? Am I the devil? Am I going to hell? You know what you are? You're a babe, you're unskillful in the word. But as you feed on the word, as the word becomes greater to you, as your gospel teeth grow in, glory to God, and you begin to eat more of that word and take in more of that word, and then you come to full age. Oh my, listen to what he says. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Oh, he says, even those who by reason of use, listen, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when you're sitting in church and you're questioning whether or not you even got the Holy Ghost, or everything that is preached turns you into a tailspin and you start wondering about your salvation, wondering if you're saved, wondering if you're this or that, you know right where you stand right then. You're still unskillful. But the more word that you eat, the more you grow up in Christ, the more your discernment becomes keen. And you can start discerning between good and evil. You start discerning between the parts that is you, the stupid you, and the God you. Amen. Y'all didn't realize you had a stupid you, but you do have a stupid you.
Amen.
I love how Brother Claude said a number of years ago, his name Claude, it actually means Claude, it means dummy.
Yeah.
And I love Claude years ago used to say, and that's why dummy has got to come subject to the word. I said, amen, Brother Claude. This dummy has got to come subject to the word of God. You agree with that? But why do we sit there and go through this battle back and forth? Because we're still drinking milk. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But the deeper you get in this word, the more that you study, the more that you feed, you start discerning better. Well, he said Judas, but he's not talking about me. He's talking about hell, but he's not preaching about me. There's never been a sermon since I've got the Holy Ghost ever preached on hell that they were talking about me.
Mm.
They can't, because if I've got the Holy Ghost, I'll never experience it.
That's right.
Glory to God. I'll never know, you'll never know, as a child of God, you'll never know what it's like.
Yeah. Praise God.
But why do we wonder? Why do we balance and bubble around? Because we're still unskillful. So how do you get to this next part? You've got to keep feeding on the Word of God until you come to a spot that your senses are exercised. Exercised. They're strengthened, in other words. Look at this full age. It means brought to its end. Finished. Wanting nothing necessary to completeness. This is the same word Jesus uses in Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore teleos, as your Father in heaven is teleos. So he's not saying sinless perfection where you never make a mistake. Right. He's talking about being mature. Let me tell you what mature sons and daughters of God do. They make mistakes every day. They do things wrong. They say things wrong. They mess up all the time. I'm talking about a mature son, mature daughter. But a mature son and mature daughter, when they mess up and do things wrong, they have enough maturity about them to exercise and discern where the wrong was at and make it right and try to fight that battle to win on the next time.
That's right.
Somebody that's unskillful, they fall flat on their face. Oh, somebody pray for me. Ah! You know the problem is? They ain't fed enough until they're strong enough.
Right.
Boy, I better hurry or time. You know, we're going to be here 2 hours again if I don't hurry. Watch now, search me and see Jesus. Now, watch this. He said, some guy got after me the other day and said, why don't you leave them people alone? Always hammer them by the way they dress things they do. If you're a prophet, people think you're a prophet. He said that I'm not. He said, but what they believe you to be, and why don't you teach them how to see visions and walk before God? Look at what he called mature. See visions, walk before God. I said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now watch what Brother Bram says. If they don't know ABC, how am I going to teach them algebra?
Right.
If they don't know kindergarten, don't know how to behave themselves, don't know how to look, act, dress, and be decent, how am I going to teach them prophetic things? So the more mature we become, the more we learn how to look, act, dress, be decent, and behave, how to speak, how to act. This is maturity. This is growing up to full age, the Holy Spirit feeding on the Word. Now, I want to take for you just real quickly here this morning. Try not to linger too much on this because I know I've kept you here a long time last night and I know I don't want to wear you out today. But notice, a child when it grows, the focus or the emphasis of this child is upon its walking, talking, eating, and sleeping. We know that as this child grows, it is mama's message to that child that brings it up in these elements, walking, talking, eating, and sleeping. It is her teaching. The first steps you ever had in this life, somebody led you to it. That's mama's message. Now, as mama's message is directed toward this child, it is controlling the actions that it has learned. The child begins to eat and it tries to put it in the mouth and blows all over the place. Mama wipes its mouth and put up a spoon and rake it this way and stick it in again. Mm-hmm. She's just some element. She's controlling these actions in the beginning. But the closer to maturity that this son or daughter gets, the more that mama expects the message to become flesh in them. And what mama's message was to that child, she is expected or he is expected to make it live themselves.
Right.
Everybody listen close. Once you reach a certain spot in your walk with God and it seems like God takes a big step back, you ought to know right then it ain't because he's left you. It ain't because he's not with you. It's because you've gotten big enough to eat and walk and talk on your own. And he wants to see, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to take this message and apply it to your life? That's why God ain't going to fight all of your battles. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I know that tears you to pieces, but it's the truth anyhow. He ain't going to fight every battle. God ain't going to fight every battle that you've got. You've got to fight some yourself. Oh, you don't like that, do you? That's because maybe you're just so used to that bottle. God says it's time for you to grow up, Tony. Get off that bottle. Some of you sitting in this building, you need a 90-gallon bucket with a 90-gallon nipple on it. And a pacifier the size of this pulpit. Diaper changes. First little battle you get in. Feed me, feed me. Pray for me. I can get back to church Wednesday night. You've got to feed. If you want to win, if you want to prevail, you've got to feed. You've got to strengthen the inner man. That's why the prophet said, a spiritually built up Christian prays and reads their Bible every day. Why? They're feeding. Notice this child then, as it gains experience with walking, it doesn't mean that a mature person ain't never going to stumble. Anybody in here, in your later years, more years behind you than you do in front of you perhaps, can you say that you've never stumbled? How many years you've been walking? Brother Daniel, 31, myself, 38, Brother Tony, a number of years, his brother here, a number of years. Can you, brother, say that you ain't never stumbled and fell? Ever had a fall? Ever made a mistake and fall down? You? All the time? But then you still fall? You mean 31 years and you still ain't learned how to walk? No, that ain't it. You know how to walk. But sometimes you make the mistake in your walking. Now, does your mommy still get you by the hand and say, now, Daddy, Daddy, or whatever she calls you? My little sweet Daddy, Daddy, now dust yourself off. Come on now. Mama will help you down the way. What does Mama do? She's trusting that the message has so become flesh that the moment you get down, you'll remember to get back up. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. That's what the Holy Ghost is hoping for you and I. That the message will become so influential to our life that if we fall down, that we will get back up. Why are we waiting on God to pick us up all the time? We know what the message is. Do it. Do it. Listen to this. Then as the child grows in its experiences, then it comes to accompany mama's foundational teaching when the adult will eventually become a teacher himself. This is what we call parenthood. Now let's look at a child's development. Let's go to the slide there, the first and second month of a child's cognitive development. Notice here that the child, and I want you to just take this spiritually, follow along spiritually how this looks to you and God. A child at 1 to 2 months will follow moving objects with the eyes. They will gain information through their senses and cry to indicate their needs. Now some of you that are 20, 30, 40 years old, ever what you are, 50, 60 years old, whenever you get hungry, does your wife hear you in the other room going, meow, meow, meow? Well, it might every now and then, but we're not going to tell on you this morning. Smile, Tony. I'm probably talking about you. Don't you know you don't have that response? Why? Your response has been articulated now and from a cry into a request. You've come from the spot to where you're no more groaning, oh God! But now you're saying, Father, I am your son. You said in your word that if I asked you for a fish, you would not give me a snake. His cry has moved. Now, does that mean you don't cry? Sure. There's times that you will cry out. Just like a little baby, there's times in our walk with God, we might be the grown up as Christian that we could possibly be and still be like a baby before the Lord. But our overall development. Right. At this age, it can already distinguish between familiar voices. It's just barely been born, and my sheep already know my voice. My little baby, she's just a day old. She's heard my voice 8 months in the womb. She's born 5 weeks early, a little premature. And that little baby, I talk to it through the mama's belly. You know, I'd just be sitting there, and I'd pull mama right up, and I'd just talk to that baby. Daddy loves you. Little Jessica, you're going to come see us in a little while. I can't wait to meet you. And do you know, and that little old baby, it was cutting a shine, 2 days old, cutting a shine. And I reached over and picked it up, and I started talking. I said, Jesse, do you know Daddy? And that baby quit crying. Her little eyes cut right over to me like this. I thought, oh God, that goes to prove what Jesus said. My sheep know my voice. For while we were yet in the womb, in the mind of God, He was yet communicating with us. And when we were born, we knew what His voice was. From 3 to 4 months, now watch its stages, how it grows quickly. It recognizes faces of the caregiver. It'll practice making sounds. Some of y'all ain't been to 3 to 4 months just yet. We'll get you growed up after a while. It will respond when the caregiver talks. No wonder some of y'all still need your papa and your blankie. Because when the caregiver talks, there should be something in you that responds. Even at this young age, there's a response. 3 to 4 months, it will smile and it will laugh. When you see Christians walking around all the time, you happy?
Sure I am.
You know what you're seeing? You're seeing a person that has not matured to the place to where they've got joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory.
That's right.
Now don't throw off on them. Don't throw them in hell. They just need to keep drinking. Drinking through the unmixed word. See, sincere milk. Watch now, in 5 to 6 months, is alert for a period of up to 2 hours. Well, I take it back. Some of you are maybe up to be 5 to 6 months, because you were here for at least 2 hours last night. And you were pretty alert for the whole time, I've got to say. One of the brothers said this morning, that was the quickest 2 hours I'd ever seen. Watch, and at this time, at 5 to 6 months, they will recognize their own name. Oh, glory to God. Why? The child's coming up now. Amen. It's beginning to come up and recognize who it is. Oh, my. It'll indicate pleasure and displeasure with sounds. Some of y'all maybe are at this stage, because there's a few times I heard some of you groan last night. Oh, Lord. Did he just say what I think he said? Oh, my goodness. Or it might be this way, when you're in the prayer closet and things aren't going your way. Oh, God! There we are. 5 to 6 months. 7 to 8 months. It will imitate the actions of others. It will understand cause and effect. Smile at itself in a mirror. Now, you may not think this is a big achievement, but for a baby, to be able to recognize its own self in a mirror and to be able to smile at that reflection, knowing what it is, that's a big step for that baby. And whenever you come to the spot to where you can look into what Brother Brandon called God's looking glass, and you can look into the Word of God. Brother Ben told that story about that boy that never seen a mirror before. And he smiled and didn't smile back. He waved, it waved back. And he said, Grandma, that's me in there. She said, yep, that's right. When we start recognizing ourselves in the Word of God and see ourselves in the Word of God, what's happening? We're maturing. Watch this. At 7 to 8 months, it will solve simple problems. Simple problems. Some of your bigger problems still need to be left to the hands of God, because you're not adult enough in his kingdom, respectfully now, to where you can solve the bigger problems. So the Lord will let you have a little here, a little there. He'll let you deal with a grumpy Walmart lady at the checkout counter. Yeah. Hope nobody works in Walmart here. He'll let you deal with this little thing, that little thing, and this is like, it's like a little certain something will come in, and that little tiny problem will turn you upside down. You'll think, dear God, my world's falling apart. And the Lord just sit back there smiling and saying, work with it, little baby. Work with it, little darling. It'll recognize some words. Right. 9 to 10 months, it will search for hidden objects. You see, up to a certain point, a baby will see a set of keys. You can wave them, put them behind your back, and that baby believes that they're gone, even though they're still there. And that's the way it is with some of us when it comes to Christ. We feel His presence. He makes Himself known in church. We feel His presence. But then Jesus will put His presence behind His back. And somehow or another will say, where'd you go, Lord? Oh, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. The keys are still there. Yeah. It's just that you haven't grown to the spot to realize just because you don't feel Him doesn't mean He's not there.
Amen.
It's not the key's fault or the adult. It's the child. Notice in the second year, let me hurry through this because I know time to get away from us. Watch now, improves from the first year to the year and a half. It'll improve from walking a few unsteady steps to walking well. From a year and a half to 2 years old, it can actually run now. And it can even stand on one foot. That's the way some of us spiritually Christians are. Watch me, Daddy. Watch me, Daddy. Watch me. Oh, how loving our Jesus must be. When he looks down at that little old toddler and he just picks him up and just smiles and laughs and dusts him off. You crazy kid, you. the way he looks at us. He doesn't look at us when we make mistakes and fall and get hindered in different ways and give ourselves over. He doesn't look at us like we're some kind of a reprobate.
Right.
He sees us as a toddler. From 2 to 2.5 years old, it will walk with more coordination and confidence. From 2.5 to 3 years, it can run, but it really can't stop accurately, so it runs into things. Don't mind telling you, I'm still at this stage right here. Now notice it's beginning to pick up the ability to use the word more, to move into the deeper things of God, but it's still a little unskillful in how to control it. So it's like, John, Jesus, you want me to call fire out of heaven? Burn it up! I said, John, you're running pretty good, boy, but you just don't know what spirit you're of just yet. But you understand, when we get this old Elijah anointing of the day on us, where we think we're the only ones, or we've got creative power in our mouth, and bless God, if they stick their middle finger up us at a red light, we're going to take the third pull and speak it out of existence. You can run well, but you just don't know how to stop accurately. I'm guaranteeing there's a lot of people that are at this stage when they can start witnessing about the things of God in this last day. They will punch and smack and beat people in the head. They got the right idea, but they just don't know how to stop. Sometimes at this stage, it's the most dangerous stage for this child, because that's one of its most developmental stages. This is where the Catholic Church said, if we can catch them at this stage, we'll make a Catholic out of them the rest of their life. Why? Because they understand the principle of cognitive development, that at this stage of this baby's life, that if a certain wind of doctrine blows through, it might run after it. From 3 to 4 years, this is where I want to get some of y'all to. Wouldn't that be great? See that some of y'all get to this stage and you're walking with God to when the word's preached, you start jumping up, down, skipping and hopping, and you can balance on one foot. Watch me, Brother Ben. I'm better this year than I was last year. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. They walk on their tiptoes, ride a tricycle, and they can catch a ball with their arms straight. My little girl, whenever I first started playing catch with her, it's the pitifulest thing you ever seen in your life. I'd throw the ball and smack her in the forehead. But what happens after a while, she begins to realize these arms are meant for something. And her brain, her mind, her nerves, her skills, her senses all begin to fine-tune to focus on the object that they've got to use. At 4 years, it can skip and hop. And it can lace shoes. This is interesting here. And undress itself. It can jump forward as well as it can up and down. It's really moving on now. At 5 years old, it can tie its shoelaces. You remember Brother Graham said in that tent vision when he was using this, what a lot of people have used, what they call return ministry. But it really was the vision that God gave him of this third pool coming on. And this third pull, he has a shoe in his hand by this riverside, and he's got a little lacement. He's trying to take this lace and thread it through the eye, and he can't thread it in there because it's all frayed at the end. And again, his brother said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. At 5 years old, they can tie their shoelaces so they understand what shoes and shoelaces are all about. You realize what God was calling those Pentecostal people in Brother Bram's day? He was bringing them to this stage right here. They will draw recognizable people. They'll skillfully pick up small items, and now they can stand and balance on a tiptoe for a short time. Hebrews 6, Brother Bram said, you give a baby strong meat, you'll kill it. That's the reason so many people say, I don't believe that, and walk away. They're still babies. They just can't understand. They can't grasp that truth. It kills them. Great, mighty things the church should know today, but you couldn't teach it. They stumble over it. They just don't know what to do with it. God be misunderstood. Now, there's many times people misjudge one another, and it's a bad thing to do. You say, well, she's got short hair, wearing a dress too short. That's not the Holy Spirit upon her. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not right. You don't know what's in that woman's heart. You don't know nothing about it. You know that the Holy Spirit would make her conduct herself a little better. Now, that may be true. But I'll tell you, as you and I, let God do the judging of that. Let you and I just pray for that person that God will show them the light. So what is he telling us? He's telling us that people, by their conduct, the way they act sometimes, they're telling on what stage of this babyhood they're in. And if you're not careful and you try to feed them something before they're ready for it, it will destroy their walk with God. That's right. Let me hurry. Luke 8:11. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. Matthew 12:33. Make the tree good, or make the tree corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now watch that. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such is no law. Remember now, the fruit is the result of the labor and the toil coming from the growth of that tree. The fruit comes in the results at the end, not the beginning. So when we first get the Holy Ghost, we're achieving that. Oh God, I want love, I want peace. Keep eating. Amen. Keep drawing. Keep drinking. And then the fruit will come. The fruit is a sign of what? Maturity. Right. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Not immediately, but in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will profit. And enticing spirits, so much demonology, demons working in the human soul. But watch the way it bears fruit, or watch the kind of life that the person lives. Why people are tossed about, take a dead sinner, alienated from God, without hope, without Christ, rather, put him in the presence of God, the glorious tabernacle there, he will yield forth fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. The dead rod that budded, for it budded, it had to have refreshments. It had to be refreshed. After it was refreshed, it brought forth odor, perfume, blossom. Then the next thing brought forth was fruit. And watch now. And every Christian that comes the same way, when he comes into the presence of God, first, he has to be refreshed. The Holy Spirit has to take a hold of that man, renew him, make him another person. The Holy Ghost comes in just a refreshment. Palmer worm, cankerworm, locusts, and so forth. Doctor said to me, like, oh, Billy, do you think the Pentecostal people is just excited? I said, no, sir, I don't. Well, what makes them? That's nervousness. They scream and holler and go on. I said, doctor, you mean to tell me that nerves can be excited without something to excite them? Something has to excite them. So what's there? I said, the unseen force of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Moving among us. It excites that born-again spirit. Right? He says, it brings an excitement to that spirit. The power of God foams down through. Faith cometh by hearing. The Holy Ghost takes the word, spreads it out over the people. The people catch it with the power of that regenerated, born-again life. And something has got to cry out. Understand? Oh, my. Praise the Lord. You've got enough to last you 100 years on what I preach this weekend. God bless you, friends. Do you realize that one of the greatest things that we need to realize is that just because we're maybe not at this stage or this stage or this stage doesn't mean we won't get there. It just means we need to keep feeding, eating, feeding on the Word of God, because eventually we will come to the spot to where that we will produce everything the Spirit of God wants for us to produce. Don't get discouraged when you don't see love like you need to see it. Don't get discouraged when you don't see joy like you need to see it. Maybe you're at that stage where you hear and recognize voices, but you haven't got to the spot where you can recognize your name being called. Maybe you can't recognize maybe the voice of the caregiver as it would be determining this one from this one. Maybe you can't see yourself in the mirror just yet. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged with it. Keep eating. Keep feeding. Keep coming to church. Keep listening to tapes. Keep reading the Bible. Keep studying the Word of God. Because the more that you take in, the more that you grow, the greater this born again will come. When I started this Friday night, y'all probably thought, Lord, he's going to spend the whole weekend telling us how to get the Holy Ghost, didn't you? I think you understand now there's a whole lot more to this Holy Ghost than just getting it.
Yeah.
This is what Brother Bam tells us in 1959. He said, you've got to know what it is, or you don't know what you've got when you get it.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Right.
It's all these elements coming together. It's the preaching, it's you feeding, it's the rhema, it's all these different things. All of it coming together to make forth what is this genuine Holy Ghost. I don't mind telling you, I'm glad I've got it.
Amen.
How about you? I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, you are missing out on one of the greatest experiences of your life.
Yeah. Right.
Say something. God bless you, friends. Let's just worship the Lord a little while. Somebody, let's just pray one for them, Kevin. Amen. Amen. Let's just ask God to help us with what we've heard this weekend. Do you believe all that's been preached to you? Do you believe it to be the truth of the Word of God?
Amen.
This is what you are, friends. This is what we are by God's grace. Let's pray one for them, Kevin. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your presence today, we just thank you for this weekend, Lord, for what it's meant to us, Lord Jesus. God's been such a powerful outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I've been privileged to be a part of this again this weekend. I want to thank you, Father, for how you've used me, Lord, to say things to your children that I know have been a help to them. We so thank you, Lord, for the word, for the words that have been spoken. Lord God, as we lay our hands one upon another, we agree together in prayer today, asking you that you'll help us, Lord, with what we've heard. Lord Jesus, we know that Satan will try to come against us, Lord. Try to bring our conclusion, our thoughts to a conclusion, and try to challenge us with the things that we've heard this weekend. But Lord God, I pray a hedge of protection around these, your children, that your Spirit will just so move for each of them, Lord, that you will let their hearts be so opened up to the Spirit of God. Oh my, that they'll just continue to feed on the Word of God, and that the Holy Spirit will give them a season of grace, Lord, that they can sow all of these things inside of their heart, that they can feed on what's been granted and given to them, Lord. Oh God, all that they've achieved this weekend in receiving from the Word of God, I pray you wouldn't let it fall by the wayside, Lord. Give your children a season of grace, Lord, that it can become flesh before you let the devil come and move on about it. Oh God, give them strength in the trials, Lord. Oh God, if they're a full age, and Lord, you're going to turn hell loose against them. Lord, let them be strong and stable and have strong feet, Lord God, to stand firm and steady, Lord Jesus, on what you would have for them. I pray for each of these, your children. Lord God, may the power of God come from the throne room of God and bless us each one, Lord, in the mission that we've got in this last day. Give us your favor, my Lord God.
Yes.
As we pray one for another now, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray for every office, every minister, every worker, every support, help, and government today. May the Spirit of God be mindful of us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just raise our hands now, all of us, and just worship the Lord just a moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lamb of God. We praise you, Lamb of God. Oh, just water that which is in your heart now. Now you have to open up your mouth and tell him. Don't just tell him from your mind. Don't just tell him that word. Tell him from your mouth. Use your mouth. Tell him like a little baby would say, God, God, goo, goo, dad, dad. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father. Oh, God, maybe I'm learning. Maybe I'm at this stage. I don't know how to water this correctly. But, Lord God, help me. Help me, Jesus, to apply the word to my life. Oh, God, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, maybe I don't know how to worship, Brother Ben. All right, just follow the ones that know how to do it, Ben. Just impersonate what they're doing and take it upon yourself. You see them raise their hand, you raise your hands with them. And they say, thank you, Lord. Say, oh, that sounds good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we water today that which we've heard. We water it with praise and thanksgiving, Lord. We don't ever want to be like that little old hog who's getting hit on the head with apples, eating apples, but never look up to see where the blessing come from. Thank you for this weekend, Lord. Thank you for how you spoke to our hearts. Thank you for how you poured out your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy. We love you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. How we thank you, Lord Jesus. How we thank you, Lamb of God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, friends, I can tell you this. Since the last time I've been here, I can tell each one of you have come up a little higher spiritually since I've been here last. I believe you're moving on in the Spirit of God. You know how much that makes me feel about you? My heart just swells out. When I first started preaching here for you folks, I'm going to tell you, I know each one of you is in a battle. You was in a fight like nobody I've ever seen in my life. But Tony, y'all was in a real struggle. But now you're getting into freedom, a little bit more, a little bit more freedom, a little bit more freedom. You just keep moving on with that. Let the Lord just keep blessing that.
Amen.
The next time we meet here together, He'll just take us up into another stratosphere.
Amen.
That's what these meetings are for. Do you feel like you got what you came for?
Amen.
Do you feel like you've been blessed?
Amen.
Amen. You may not feel like you've got it. Oh, that's all right. There's been enough said that you might get it down the road. That's for sure.
Amen.
I love you, friends. God bless you, each one of you. Amen. Let's sing it again. Let go and let God have His wonderful ways. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way.
So I don't know how to get there. So I need somebody that's been there.
I need somebody that knows the way, right? And we know that the Lord Jesus went before us, and He's resurrected. He was called up. And so, just from that analogy, I know that I need His leadership every day. And that's what we've heard this weekend. You know, a good speaker, he'll tell you what he's going to tell you. Then he'll tell you. And then afterwards, he'll tell you what he told you. You understand what I'm saying? And so the Lord has done that this weekend. We know that there's got to be something that comes down inside us. That's not us. Because we're born in this world without that new birth, without that desire for God. And if something doesn't come in and change that desire, we'll forever go the way of the world. So we have to have something that comes inside that's resident in us. A new birth, the presence of the Holy Spirit. He will come in, and then our desires will change. We won't be wanting to establish a new government or a new UN or something like that. We'll want to do what Jesus wanted to do. And that's to establish the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came to save that which is lost. And I'll tell you what, that was the first thing I recognized in my heart when I gave my heart to the Lord, was I became interested in lost souls. Because that's what He came for. And if we have His Spirit dwelling in us, then we're going to be about His business. Not trying to establish a new government like Obama wants or something like that, but to establish the kingdom of heaven in the hearts of the people. And so we heard that this weekend, that's there. We need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead us and guide us. And not just book knowledge, but where the things, the truth of the Word has come down and is now living out of us. Right? The living Word is living out. And that living Word will make, it'll touch lives and makes it different for people. And so that's what we were thankful that the Lord has revealed that. Showed us those things. So this morning we saw that God expects maturity. He expects us to mature. Just like a little child. You know, we're all born as little children, and in our spiritual walk we're born as little children, but God expects growth. And how do you tell whether a person is growing? Just by looking at what they do. Looking at how they act. Right? How mature are we in the things of God? And so, we see that in our little ones. And I've got a grandson who's getting close to 2 years old. And I don't call for a 10-year-old life from him. But I certainly expect 2-year-old life. And if I don't see that coming from him, I know there's something wrong. And it may not be anything wrong with him. It may be that he's just not having the experiences around him. Maybe the parents or the people around him aren't presenting to him the things for him to experience and learn. But you see, we have a Heavenly Father that does give us those experiences, does give us what we need. And so He knows how to woo us and draw us, and He knows how to invest into us. And I really like what Brother Ben said about this. He puts an investment in us, and then He expects that to come back. You know, for me to truly have fellowship with my son who's standing back there, you know, the kind of fellowship that we have today, he would have to grow up to what he is now in order to have the kind of fellowship we have. And so that's what God wants. He wants mature fellowship, and He's willing to put the investment in there. And so that would come back to you, come to Him from you. So, amen. How many joys what you heard this morning?
Amen.
I mean, we'll take it home with you and put it into action.
Amen.
Amen. I mentioned last night, just for the sake of the ones that weren't here, I said, you know, you go to a doctor when you get sick, you figure out something's wrong, you go to the doctor. When you figure out you're not looking well yourself, you go to him and say, "What's up, doc? I don't feel good." The first thing that doctor has to do is he has to examine you. Right? He has to examine you, and then he has to give you a diagnosis and tell you this is what's wrong. But before he can do you any good, you have to accept his diagnosis and you have to accept his treatment plan. Right? You have to accept that. And if you walk away and say, "Doc, I don't agree with you. I don't think that's what it is." You walk away and say, "I'm not going to take that treatment." You're going to go home and you're going to be sick. And you're going to get sicker or remain that way. We must receive the treatment plan of the doctor. And so, when the Lord shows us from His Word our errors and our mistakes and tells us what the plan is, we have to say, yes, Lord, I accept that. I accept that, and I'm willing to go home from this place. I'm willing to go home and put into action your treatment plan. I'm going to take the medicine of the Word of God every day, just like you said, and the things that I've done that made me sick in the first place, I'm going to stop doing them. Right? And you'll find that health will come back in. And so these are little simple patterns, right? But we'll certainly want to take them home with us. So God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Welcome our visitor. Glad that you could be with us, and pray that the Lord would allow you to come back. And so we just love the Lord. And I see that Sister Gloria's got a helper with her this morning. So, amen. We love to see the little ones in church. And again, I want to thank all the sisters for everything they did yesterday. Meals they prepared. I don't know if they feel this way, but I think it went flawless.
Yes.
It went really good. So the Lord's really blessed us this weekend. So I'm going to bow our hearts here just for a moment and pray that Brother Tim gets another song special for us to discuss. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful blessings upon us and how that you have poured out such great things upon us this weekend. And Lord, we don't want to just be spiritually obese. Lord, to come and you feed us so well. We just don't want to just sit still and get obese in the word and in the things you give us, Lord. But we want it to translate into healthy actions, Lord, that are put forth, that we can rise up and be about your business, Lord. Because there's a world out there that's lost today and still needs to hear about the grace that you poured out upon them. So we ask God that you would help us take these things and these tools that you've given us, put them in our toolbox, Lord, to begin to see those translate into a better prayer life, a better study life, and Lord, the actual rhema word being lived out, Lord, from our hearts that we touch the lives of people. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us. We commit this time into your hands. Us as your people ask for your blessings on their travels as they go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Dismiss.
Thank you.